this episode of Ice Pilots NWT, Buffalo tricks out a DC-3 with skis to land on a frozen lake. But the ice is melting by the minute. Kelly and Arnie get drastic makeovers. And Joe and Rod clash over how to run the business.
Think outside the box.
You told me that for 10 years.
I wish that I could fly into the sky, so very high, to anywhere I please. Oh, oh, oh yeah! I want to get away. 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 Yeah! I want to get away. I fly away.
Your hats, boy.
I guess the long way is the short way.
Outside the Buffalo hangar in Yellowknife, mechanic James Dojak is digging out an aviation relic.
Working at Buffalo, it's not a job, it's a f***ing adventure.
Skis for the legendary Douglas DC-3 aircraft, a plane that can do almost anything. Rolled out in 1935, the DC-3 popularized commercial air travel. It was the first passenger plane to fly nonstop from New York to Chicago. And equipped with skis, it could go almost anywhere, including expeditions to the North and South Poles. Buffalo hasn't flown a plane with skis in 10 years.
Just bring them in and see what they're like after the snow all melts off.
But now, company president Joe McBrien wants them back on fast.
I tell you, it'll be a cool thing to see.
Joe's promised to fly building supplies to a lakeside fishing lodge that has no road access.
This one fellow west of us here, his tourist lodge burnt down. And yes, he replenished his camp. He's taking a new building and all the supplies, so we're going to fly it in for him.
The lodge owner wants to rebuild for the summer season when his guests fly in by float plane.
We got to support the tourists. They support us.
The only plane that can handle thousands of pounds of supplies and land on a frozen lake is a DC-3 on skis. But a sudden warm spell has sparked an early thaw. Ice is melting. Within days, landing on the lake could become too dangerous.
I got to get it done this week. If the ice goes, well, then we're finished. So I got to get the airplane on skis right away.
Easier said than done. After lying outside for a decade, the skis need a complete overhaul.
None of them are in good shape at all. They're all screwed. This one's screwed. These two over here, screwed.
Maintenance supervisor Cliff Dyson has to replace the Teflon-coated shields that help the skis slide over uneven snow and ice.
You can see more up front here is where the most of the damage is, eh? That's just from the rocks under the snow and that. And that's why you get Teflon on the bottom to protect the bottom of the ski, eh?
The Teflon coating is just the beginning. The DC-3 needs modifications to its landing gear as well. Once attached, the ski assembly moves up and down independent of the wheel, enabling the plane to land with skis on rough snow or touch down on wheels on a cleared strip. Buffalo's maintenance team must hurry because the lake's frozen surface is melting away. Teflon coating is a relatively recent addition to the 50-year-old ski gear. The rest is like rebuilding a forgotten piece of history.
It's been so long since we've done ski work that all the guys are trying to remember how to do it.
I never found them under the...
You probably never even looked at a set of skis.
Well, I was just looking at them. I didn't really know what I was looking at, really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Joe chooses Chief Pilot Arnie Schrader and Pilot A.J. DeCoste to fly the ski plane mission.
The Teflon slides a little bit, eh?
AJ has never even seen skis on a DC-3, but Arnie's been flying with skis since before AJ was born.
It's a pretty specialized skill. You learn from someone who's experienced with it, who knows what to look for on the lakes and how to read the snow and conditions.
Probably the most dangerous fixture you're going to put on an airplane is skis. You want to give them a good walk around skis every time. And it's easy to break things on the ski, like crack the tunnels and stuff if you're on hard surfaces, you know. I haven't seen them on for 10 years either, so I got to look at them too.
Ski planes were once a vital lifeline in northern Canada. Since the 1930s, remote communities and mining camps depended on supply flights landing on frozen lakes.
Well, I mean, we've put skis on now since Christ with the ski bunny, I guess. I don't know. I can't remember when we didn't use skis up north. But at one time up here, there was no airport, so we went skis everywhere, you know. It was every day. We put them on in the fall. We took them out in the spring.
For Joe, skis were like training wheels.
I flew in skis every year for years and years, and actually, all my training was on skis, so skis are what I know.
But few northern pilots have ever executed a ski landing in a fully loaded 12-ton DC-3. Joe and Arnie have, but not in a long time. To beat the thaw, Joe needs to work the mechanics through the weekend.
I've been trying to decipher what the plan was all day, and then when it comes down to organizing the crew.
But Joe's snap decision is stressing out his son, Rod.
You never asked the maintenance department, can they have the airplane ready? No.
Well, then you tell me.
Two guys, Adam and another guy working on skis.
If I left it to maintenance, I wouldn't get it till June.
Rod thinks putting all this prep work into one small contract makes no business sense.
We haven't used a ski plane in 10 years.
Think outside the box.
If I thought outside the box, why book a ski trip unless we had 50? Because you've told me that for 10 years. And then all of a sudden, we were leaving Sunday.
I know. It's all my fault.
Well, it's not mine.
No, it's nobody's.
I have no f***ing clue what's going on. So, you tell me.
That's how we organize here at Buffalo Airways, is we bring a bunch of drama in, and then everybody really understands the feeling. So now we're all clear.
We got one set here.
But with the lake thawing, Joe's plan is literally on thin ice. And there are even bigger problems looming.
So this might be the last big valley load this... I don't know.
One of Buffalo's longest-running contracts is in jeopardy. Buffalo flies essential food and mail to four remote villages up the Mackenzie Valley. For over 20 years, the Canadian government has subsidized these food mail shipments. They don't just feed the communities. In the winter months, they're Buffalo's bread and butter as well.
We do 5, 6, 7... up to 8 trips a week delivering these groceries, so if it weren't for that, then sure they wouldn't have much need for me to be around, or maybe some of the other crew.
With jobs on the line, Buffalo's staff waits to hear whether the contract will be renewed or lost to one of Buffalo's competitors.
There'd be no more valley runs if we don't get the food mail program, the contract. And then, like with the SCED, the stuff that we bring up from there to go to all the communities too, well, that'd be transferred to somebody else. So it'd be a little bit of this shit in FedEx, which wouldn't even be worth it.
And Kelly would be among the first casualties.
If Kelly got bad news saying that there was no food mail contract, she'd be out of a job.
I could be royally screwed. I don't know.
After a weekend of non-stop work, Buffalo's maintenance crew has mounted the skis on the DC-3.
So it entailed putting on new bottoms, new internal lines, checking all the internal plumbing, repairing anything that was damaged on them. A couple of the runners had to be repaired, the skid plates had to be put on. They had to be put back together so we could put them on the airplane.
The skis add 1,200 pounds to the undercarriage, and that makes flying the DC-3 more difficult. Plus, landing on a frozen lake is always dicey.
And actually, snow in the Barrens can be just as hard as landing on rocks, so you can imagine what a whole bunch of drifts will do to your airplane when you're bouncing over those. It's pretty hard in an airplane.
Before the mission can begin, the ski assembly must be flight tested.
Well, I like to do a circuit here, and
back bay or something.
And then come down, land, make sure, you know,
Joe and Arnie want to make sure the skis are raising and lowering properly, and that they hold up and track well once they hit the snow. And they'd better hurry. The temperatures have remained above freezing, and the ice on the lake continues to melt by the hour.
We gotta get in and get the job done, get off the ice before it gets thin.
Good, eh?
Yep.
So with one last blast, she's ready for a test flight. And it's an impressive sight.
Even astounds me. I'm really jaded. This hangar, nothing really excites me too much. But seeing a DC-3 on skis is really, really cool.
Joe's like a kid with a new bike.
I kind of need to ride around the block again.
While some small planes are still used with skis throughout the winter in the north, none are even close to a giant airliner like the 20,000-pound DC-3. Joe and Arnie will soon find out if the overhauled skis can stand up to the test. Time in 10 years, one of Buffalo Airways' vintage DC-3s has been outfitted with skis to land on a frozen snow-covered lake.
Y'all may be right.
The skis, which add 1,200 pounds to the landing gear, increase drag, especially on takeoff.
An airplane on skis is flown strictly by feel. It's not flown by number, so you can't paint your picture by paint by number. You got to be able to fly your picture.
Joe and Arnie are about to do a test landing on Back Bay, just a few minutes from the Yellowknife Airport. Once airborne, they must reach a speed of 170 kilometers an hour before raising the gear.
We'll pick up a speed.
That allows the airfoil on the back of the skis to keep them level. If not, they could smash against the oil lines located under the engines. These two old bush pilots are flexing their ski plane muscles once again.
We both have a fair amount of ski time, so it was kind of neat to fly with each other.
It's just kind of fun to go out there and play with them a little bit, you know?
But it's not all fun and games. The real test of these antique skis and the airmanship of these veteran pilots is just minutes away.
Like two old guys trying out a new sports car, we just want to see what it would do if we could still do it.
Buffalo still does wheel landings on cleared ice strips, but landing with skis on snow-covered lake ice is old school. And Joe wants to make sure everything is working right before the real mission begins. In no time, they're on approach to Back Bay. They lower the skis.
Ice skis down.
Everything looks okay. But if the skis haven't been assembled and aligned perfectly, the landing could be so rough they could lose control of the plane. As the skis near the ice, the moment of truth. Plowing through the snow, Joe and Arnie get a bumpy ride. But the old skis withstand the punishment.
I'm a skier now, eh?
You need to load her tail heavy, though. She's nose heavy with stuff.
The test flight is a success. But the snow here on Back Bay is well packed by regular snowmobile use, unlike the snowdrifts they'll hit on Dogface Lake.
There's lots of conditions that you wouldn't be able to land in. Too many drifts and too hard, or overflow, anything like that, you know.
So bringing a fully loaded 25,000-pound DC-3 down onto Dogface Lake will be a whole new game. Later, back at Buffalo, Arnie and AJ plot their course.
That's right there, so... Yeah, it's about 120 miles at the most, maybe.
The thickness of the ice on the lake will be critical.
This year it's been fairly warm, so the ice was not that thick, really.
Holes drilled in the ice reveal that with the early thaw, the landing site is steadily melting.
There's not a lot of ice there either, because I was looking at this sucker, and this is what he measured. Here in this area, he's got 28, 28, 23. That's not much ice, eh?
No. Less than 2 feet of ice.
Less than 2 feet, so you want to have them skis on in case a wheel breaks through. At least there's, you know, there's enough area to support the airplane.
Excuse me?
This is minimum ice, really. I'd like to see 30 inches all the way across, but for every 1,000 pounds of airplane, you want an inch of ice. So if you got a 25,000-pound airplane, minimum would be 25 inches, preferably a little bit more. Yeah, so we have to do this fairly soon, eh?
If even an inch of ice is lost, landing could be too risky. But these days, Arnie has a lot more on his mind than just melting ice. It's been a tough year for Buffalo's chief pilot. A family crisis weighs heavily on him. His 15-year-old daughter, Caitlin, is fighting cancer and will soon lose her hair from the chemo treatments.
You're not going to charge me $30 for this, are you?
Yeah. So the other night, Arnie invited friends over to do something radical in support of Caitlin.
Julia had a lot of bumps and scars.
One by one, everyone took their turn.
I'm ready.
Stop.
Kelly's close friendship with Arnie makes her feel like one of the family.
I love you.
She's beautiful.
Ready?
We left Caitlin till the last, so we all kind of looked the same for her, and you know, it really cheered her up. It was probably one of the most memorable days of my life. I'll never forget it. Like, it was just so awesome.
Rainbow! Yeah!
You know, we cheered her up.
Well, yours is in a ponytail, remember? Here, look! Team Bolt! Oh my good God!
You look so good.
Hi, honey. There you go. Buffalo is a big family for me. It's huge. And I think that's what's keeping me here.
Oh,
weird,
kidding.
Eh? You just had to touch it, didn't you? God, it's like Velcro. Like, sometimes the job can suck, but you know what? So what? The people are amazing.
It's a little cold in here.
But Kelly's warm and fuzzy feelings about some of the people at Buffalo are about to change. Operations manager Mike Hanley and Rod McBrien show up in the cargo terminal to check on problems with employee time cards. It seems that some cargo staff, including Kelly, haven't been punching in and out properly.
They're supposed to punch in and out.
Okay,
in and out. Like, why no handwriting?
Hey, Rod.
Has anybody here been appointed as a supervisor for time cards? Like, as per Greg or anybody like that? I don't know.
Well, I'm here, and I supervise that. Greg has me to watch them.
Okay. Okay, we'll talk to you later.
See ya. Yep.
Rod and Mike head back to the office to discuss what they found.
We might have to make some management decisions to see if we're going to bring in maybe a new manager or a new supervisor to help mix things up, to make things more effective and efficient.
Basically, it sounded like to me, in a roundabout, huge way, they want a manager over here. Well, last thing I knew, that's what I was. So, I don't know. I don't know what to think.
With the food mail contract up in the air, Kelly's already worried about her job security. And now this.
Better find a new manager.
Buffalo Airways DC-3 ski plane is on approach to Hay River to load up building supplies. From here, they'll fly to a lodge on an isolated lake with no road access.
Hey, give me the gear now.
Pilots Arnie Schrader and A.J. DeCoste are at the controls. The skis are raised so the wheels roll freely. But the ski's back edges are reinforced to withstand the inevitable scraping along the tarmac.
Boy, you got a lot of stuff here.
I don't know. This stuff all going too? Just bring the plywood.
The clients, who run a lodge that burned down, want building supplies flown in so they can rebuild before the summer.
That'll be enough for the first trip.
4,000, 5,000, that's 6,000 pounds.
Yeah, it's 6,000 pounds, Jimmy.
The ice thickness on Dogface Lake was last measured between 23 and 28 inches.
Yeah. Now we got a load in there, you can see.
At a gross weight of over 27,000 pounds, Arnie's load at DC-3 is almost too heavy for the ice.
For every 1,000 pounds of weight, you want an inch of ice.
Well, it should only be 5,000 pounds on skis, because the skis are 1,200 pounds. You'll handle it.
We go f***ing lake.
We're just trying to keep it, you know, as safe as we can.
Trip one, eh? Trip number one coming up here.
Bulging at the seams with its heavy load, the maxed out DC-3 manages to take to the sky. It's a 50-minute flight to isolated Dogface Lake, 200 kilometers west of Hay River. Nearing their destination, Arnie and AJ start planning the landing.
Right up the line like this.
Yeah. He's got it all marked out down here too, maybe.
Yeah.
In many spots, the ice on Dogface Lake is a lot thinner than it was on Back Bay for yesterday's test flight. And the surface is much rougher.
How much ice?
Only 20 inches right down here.
Oh, not good.
When you do your inspection of the lake, stuff you're looking for is the size of the drifts on the lake, the direction the drifts are in, and any signs that there could be overflow on the lake. We had the benefit of having a description of the snow coverage on the lake. It was about 8 inches of granular snow underneath with a 2-inch crust on top.
Arnie eases the heavy DC-3 down towards a section of the frozen lake where the drifts look smaller and the ice tested thickest several days ago. But there's been more melting since then. Twelve tons of dead weight hit 2 feet of ice. The skis and the ice hold up.
After we touched down, you could feel the little drifts really slowing down the airplane, making it hard to taxi along. But aside from that, it was a very smooth touchdown. Wasn't as violent as what I thought it would be like.
Although he's flown the DC-3 for years, this ski landing leaves an impression on AJ.
She's awesome. Very cool. Different than what I even expected, actually, yeah.
But they'll have to unload fast. They want to get back to Hay River to deliver a second load before nightfall. The launch staff begins shuttling cargo to the building site on shore as the DC-3 roars away to pick up the next load. In the Yellowknife hangar, Rod McBrien is doing some touch-ups on one of Buffalo's Curtiss C-46 commandos. Since shuttling cargo over the Himalayas in World War II, This plane has flown with many different colors in its 60-plus years.
The wingtip has been replaced, so it just needs to be touched up to match the rest of the paint. When you run old airplanes like this, it's best to keep them looking fairly straight. There's no relevance in airworthiness, but we'll make it look good.
As director of maintenance, Rod's job includes showing off Buffalo's colors.
It's a signature Buffalo green. You call paint company and say, just send us Buffalo green. They don't even need the number anymore. Put some lipstick on it, and then everybody's happy. It's a new airplane again.
While Rod knows his way around every inch of Buffalo's fleet, on the domestic front, it's a different story.
I don't know where most of the stuff goes, but or even what it is.
He and wife Sasha have been married for 3 years and are expecting their first child.
You can put the teddy bear in the crib.
I know what I've been doing my whole life. Now I have to figure out what somebody else needs.
I realize he's really not sure all the time, and neither am I, about what we're going to do once the baby's here.
The new McBrien is going to look up at us and go, you guys are nuts, or we'll join forces. So I'm not really sure.
Back in Hay River, Arnie and the crew are behind schedule. They have to fly this second load to Dogface Lake, drop the cargo, and leave before it gets too dark to take off safely.
Because legally we're supposed to take off in the daylight, not at dark on a, you know, something that's not a lighted surface.
The longer the loading takes, the more impatient Arnie becomes.
Let's f***ing go. We're pushing it. I said 5 o'clock airborne.
They take off. This time, AJ is in the captain's seat.
There we go.
It was a thrill to get the chance to grab the wheel, and I did want to impress Arnie, so beside of me was nervous. He made slight adjustments here and there.
Okay. He'll come up a little quicker, about 95.
They're racing the setting sun. If AJ and Arnie don't get the plane unloaded and back in the air before dusk, they'll be stuck for the night on the melting ice on Dogface Lake. Nearing Dogface Lake, Buffalo pilot AJ DeCoste is getting ready to land a DC-3 on skis for his first time, under the watchful eye of Chief Pilot Arnie Schrader.
There's high drifts on the lake, and you want to go parallel with the drifts. You don't want to go perpendicular and have lots of high and low spots.
But AJ has a plan to avoid the drifts altogether.
I'll see the same tracks that Arnie made there when he did the previous landing, and try to line myself up with that there and try to end up close to where the offload spot is so we don't have to tack it around too much. These are on their way down. I'm going to have a look. High speed down. Got a bunch down, Arnie.
Now it's all up to AJ to adjust for the additional weight of the skis as he descends towards the lake.
The center of gravity of the aircraft changes with skis. They're forward, so it makes the airplane more nose heavy, and it could cause the airplane to go over on its nose.
Got 65. That's good. Got one flap to go. There you get to the knot. You're down to 60. Nope. Not too. There. Step on it. We're going till you get where you want.
AJ catches more than a few bumps as the DC-3 rushes across the snow.
Take power. Okay, that's good. Better.
If you have a rough lake, I guess it's really hard on the landing gear and the skis. And they all held together well, didn't damage anything. Wasn't as smooth a landing as Arnie did, that's for sure, but it was a good one. It was a good, safe landing.
but they must lift off the lake before dark, so they'll have to unload in record time.
That's going to be pretty slow. Now we need the plywood there, boys. A couple guys run and get plywood.
But unloading isn't easy. A ramp needs to be built to get the backhoe off the plane.
Yeah, just tack her on there.
You can get this thing out of here before dark.
With dusk creeping closer, Arnie's patience is tested.
That's okay.
The last thing he wants is to be stuck on the melting lake overnight.
Come on, pounce nails in there, boys, so we can get the hell out of here. One will hold her, Jim.
Finally, the last piece of cargo is offloaded.
Yeehaw!
Leaving barely enough time to take off.
It's not legal to take off in the dark. The lights say so. We had to get airborne before dark.
It's going to come up in a hurry, but don't push it too hard because it'll nose right over it. All right, you got to hold back pressure. Just get the tail out of the snow, okay?
Sounds good.
Here's the rattle. I'm just going to stand by waiting so you don't shove it too hard. Just up right there. Just hold it right there.
In the fading light, AJ guns it across the bumpy surface. It's like learning to fly all over again.
There's 50. Just gently, because you'll get the tail and snow again. Good, perfect.
Too light on the throttle, and AJ will drag the tail in the snow. But too much power, and the nose of the plane will pitch forward. And the biggest challenge is clearing the trees on the edge of the lake.
Better accelerate good. Get her up to 94 and start climbing.
By the time we got airborne, we were happy to be looking at that lake from out the window instead of from standing on it.
It's a narrow escape from Dogface Lake. The next morning at Buffalo HQ, Joe is on edge. With the looming decision on the renewal of the important government food mail contract, he's focusing on every aspect of the job. Starting with the cargo terminal.
But how could Kelly do it when I pulled her time card? She wasn't even at work yesterday.
So let's get to the bottom of it.
He grills Rod and Mike Hanley about how Kelly is managing her staff.
Where's the last time she was in? She hasn't checked out yet.
Still came here. In on Monday.
She knows enough to write down no lunch, but she doesn't check out. So what happens is Janelle probably waits till 4 o'clock, then checks her out. She does a good job at consolidating the load with the customer, but not managing it.
Yep.
There's a lot of difference between putting the freight on the train and driving the
This isn't a maintenance issue, but Joe wants Rod to help Mike deal with it.
So who's ever doing the discipline in this company should go over there, not me.
So Rod and Mike try some gentle diplomacy with Kelly.
Hypothetically, a person could come in the next morning and say they left at 6:30. When she might have left at 5:30.
Ultimately, I don't think the trust is available between this department and the owner of the company. So what we're going to have to do is figure out how to make them believe.
I can't promise to remember that. And so the only thing that's going to happen is I don't get paid. I don't clock out. I don't get paid. End of story.
Yeah, but it's not just you. I pulled Vicky. She didn't punch out yesterday. So, do we not pay her for yesterday? Yeah. She takes everything very personal. She always wants to do a good job in the company, like we all do, but taking it at a very personal level, I think she thinks it's a direct hit to herself.
The punch clock issue has pushed Kelly to the edge.
I think it all came down to the f***ing stupid time card bullshit. Yeah, I forgot to punch out, so now it's like this huge thing, nobody's managing shit properly and blah, blah, blah. Then get a different f***ing manager. I don't really give two f***s. Basically, that's what they're doing anyway, by the sounds of that. So good. Be better off anyway and leave. Say f***ing leave so I can have a f***ing cigarette. God, I need out of here.
Now, even if the food mail contract is renewed, Kelly's next step could be right out the door.
Sick of it.
Buffalo's contract for delivering food to communities up the Mackenzie Valley is in jeopardy, and everyone at the airline has been feeling the tension. Kelly makes a call that will determine the fate of many.
Hey, Greg, it's Kel. What's up? You're shitting me. So I'm out of a job. Oh, you prick. So we got the food mill contract. Freaking awesome. Awesome, buddy. Prick. Well, that makes my day. I have a job. It's a good day. It's a party weekend. Awesome. But I can't be hungover for food mill Sunday now.
Although Kelly was feeling the heat from the Buffalo Brass, it seems like it's all forgotten. Their biggest contract has been renewed, and Kelly is a key reason why.
I guess we were rated like top in Canada for this type of northern food operations delivery. So she was able to, in my opinion, give us a good foundation to renew that contract.
Kelly's position at Buffalo is secure, for now.
For the next 12 months, we'll be hauling food mail, just like we have for the last 20 years now.
That's a good girl, yeah. That's a good one to be a good girl, yeah.
And with the food mail contract nailed down for another year, Joe and Rod shift gears to a family rite of passage.
How many miles did Mike even get on it?
Joe's dug up Mikey's old 60cc kitty cat snowmobile.
Okay, where's your truck, son?
This up there.
These kitty cats are in the family, passed on to the whatever baby's being born.
So Rod's child will be the next in line to inherit this kitty cat.
It's a way of life here. The young boys and girls start off with kitty cats. And when they can waddle around outside in the snow on their own, they'll be riding one of these. If you can believe, Mikey, you seen him today riding on that thing. Well, it's true. I seen him shit flying out both sides of his diapers and doing good.
For Joe, whether it's traditions like flying with skis or putting toddlers on tiny snowmobiles, it's what living here in the north is all about. In Hay River, Buffalo's DC-3 ski plane is being prepped for the last flight to Dogface Lake. And there's been a change in crew. Today, 24-year-old rookie co-pilot Andrew Vike replaces AJ DeCoste.
I never thought in a million years I'd get the chance to fly on skis. I guess the stars kind of aligned and I was in the right place at the right time.
Somebody's got to get that end there.
Yeah, let's see.
This opportunity is so rare that Andrew may be the only co-pilot of his generation to try this.
Well, that's probably good, yeah. You got a lot of weight in there, eh?
Once again, the DC-3 tips the scales very near its limit.
Well, that's a load, eh? I mean, think you're going to weigh too much in there, but I think. Okay, let's get out of here.
Every minute, the ice melts more at their destination on Dogface Lake. The ice is already thinner than Arnie would like.
We're worried about the ice deteriorating, you know, and once you get the snow melting on top, then that water starts to trickle through that ice and starts to candle it and stuff.
I'm gonna take it right up to 45.
Okay.
Yeah, good deal, Harry. Son of a bitch. Come on, Taylor. There she comes.
There we go.
With more weight towards the back, keeping the plane level on landing will be a greater challenge for Arnie. Soon enough, they begin their descent towards the lake.
Okay, he's down. He's down. As soon as he's up, he just flops up. Up, all the way up. They're coming.
Arnie manages to keep the heavy tail up as they slide along the lake's uneven surface. Now, they need to unload quickly so they can get off the melting ice as soon as possible.
You guys figure you'll ever get that tractor to the cabin? It might sink.
If the tractor might sink, the much heavier DC-3 could crash through the ice, too. But before they can take off, Arnie is throwing a curve.
This is horseshit.
Arnie Schrader isn't happy.
This is horseshit.
He wants to get this ski plane off the melting lake ice, now. But the client wants him to do one last thing. Haul out a load of debris from the burned-down lodge.
They're all burnt and crap.
Jesus.
It won't take much weight. There's anything that's all rusty and shit, they can bury the stuff, let it sink.
Moving all the scrap is dirty work. Arnie didn't know he'd have to play garbage man on this mission.
I'm going to make one of a mess of this airplane.
His usual patience is wearing as thin as the ice the plane is perched on.
Here, pass me some of that shit.
No, dump it out. We don't want that shit. We don't want that mud and shit.
It's not as much fun as everybody thinks it is, eh?
That's so good. Just the fact that you get to fly on skis, it doesn't matter. I'm so young in my career here that I don't care, man. Like, you can pay me nothing and I'd be happy flying. Don't tell Joe that.
Arnie takes off from Dogface Lake, relieved to finally be off the melting ice.
The ice stayed well and the airplane performed well and everybody came away as a job well done.
And there's a bonus for Andrew.
And you're 95 for 80 over the ground.
Arnie's letting him land the plane in Hay River.
All these kids that work for Buffalo are all Arnie's kids. They're all, Arnie's their dad, Arnie's the teacher, everything. My father's the crazy uncle that yells at everybody, technically, so.
You've never seen my takeoff with quarter flap either.
And these kids, you gotta remember, they just come out of flying school. It's all brand new to them. We put them in these big old airplanes that, and to them, they're a monster, you know?
Yeah, just hold it level. There, I'll give you 3 flaps. Roger.
With the added bulk of the skis increasing drag, the plane handles more sluggishly than Andrew is used to.
Nice crosswind.
He also has to compensate for some nasty gusts across the runway. It's not the prettiest landing.
You got it down, but be sad.
It's just something that I never thought I'd be able to do, and years down the road in my aviation career, I'll be able to say, hey, I've flown skis, and hell, I've even flown them on a DC-3.
Arnie and Andrew will dump the scrap from Dogface Lake here in Hay River, then head home to Yellowknife. The job is done, the old-fashioned way. But Buffalo may never fly with skis again.
It wasn't the best business choice, but definitely it raised the morale. It gave a young co-pilot like Andrew a chance in a lifetime to pilot DC-3 on skis. He's probably the youngest DC-3 ski pilot in the world right now.
And for Arnie and Joe, it was a chance to fly the DC-3 with skis one more time.
Probably will be the last time it goes in skis. There's just not much of that stuff going on anymore, eh? There's no call for it, eh?
I think it'll be a dying art. They're building airstrips everywhere, and there won't be a great need for off-strip DC-3 ski work in this area.
But, you know, for 1 week in the middle of winter, we got to do something kind of cool.
On the next episode of Ice Pilots NWT, Joe loses his pilot's license.
I've always been under this threat.
And puts his replacements under the spotlight from the backseat.
Oh.
Buffalo Airways gets Stanley Cup fever. And Mikey swoons over the most precious cargo he's ever seen.